Father, we just come to you now and ask you for that unfailing love. We thank you for your love that you have given us, the sacrificial love, the love that doesn't keep record of our wrongs, Father. We thank you for that unconditional, unfailing love. And God, we ask you that as we begin to seek that love from you, God, that you would fill us up, and that, God, we'd be able to begin to love others for that same kind of God love, that same kind of sacrificial and unfailing love. So, God, be with us as we open your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning again. We are starting a new series this morning that I'm calling Love Handles. Love Handles? yeah, and it's really going to be a series really focused on marriage. But here's what I hope to do through this series. What we're going to do is we're going to try to invest in the lives of those of you that hope to get married one day and give you some handles on the front side of marriage that will help prepare you for a godly marriage. And for those of us who are already married, what we want to do is we want to look at some of commitments that I believe with all my heart that if you make these commitments and keep them, you will literally fail-proof your marriage if you can make and keep these commitments. But the desire of my heart is that for all of us, that all of us would hear something in this series that can help us. I'm praying whether you are married or engaged or single or divorced or widowed or dating or searching, or if your Facebook status just simply says complicated, I'm praying that all of us will hear from God some great stuff, some truth handles that we can download into our hearts and our minds that will have a profound impact on all of our relationships. And the reason I decided to do this series on marriage, I haven't done a complete series in several years, but one reason is that we have 11, I think, if I've counted right, 11 counting Mitchell and Bailey, who are getting married in this year, that have some connection to the Rock family. And so I'm excited about that and excited about just maybe speaking some truth into those lives. And so that's one reason I felt like it was just a great time to do that. The other reason is that this year, Kim and I will be married 35 years. 35 years. And yeah, you can clap for that. Yeah. 35 years. It's a big year. It's a big year for us. I mean, we got married when we were 6 years old. And we're from Mulberry, so that's normal. That's kind of normal there. We met actually in church, in the nursery, I think. I looked over and go, "Woo, look at those Huggies. That are nice." No, that's not true. It's not true. She came to Mulberry in the fifth grade. Her family moved into the great city of Mulberry in the fifth grade, and we became buddies, and then quickly became good friends, great friends, and then started dating in high school and college, and we've been learning to love each other for all these years, trying to love each other like God loves. And so this message today, really the title of this part today is, It Starts With You. It Starts With You. Because Kim and I have a great marriage, but like all marriages, there have been challenges. I mean, think about it. You take two imperfect people. Really imperfect. Two imperfect people with different personalities, different physical and emotional needs, different family of origin issues, right? Different strengths, different weaknesses, different goals, different expectations. And we try to blend them all together into this happily ever after blissful experience. And about three months into the marriage, we say, are you kidding me? Why can't you be normal like me, right? Because listen, if you would act like me, if you would react like me, if you would communicate like me, and if you would like the same movies that I like or, you know, the same food that I like, then our relationship would be awesome. It would be awesome, right? And whenever my mind kind of begins to go that direction, I hear self, or maybe God, or maybe Kim, say, seriously, Monty? You would really want to live with somebody exactly like you? No. So here's the deal. God is into variety. God is into unique. He is just, I mean, off the chart when it comes to creativity, right? I heard this story about this dad and his son. They were out in the backyard catching lightning bugs. Anybody done that when they were growing up? Maybe what you call them, lightning bugs or fireflies? Okay, fireflies. You catch the little bugs, you put them in a jar, you know, put holes in them, and you watch them light up, you know. And this father and son were doing that, and the little boy looked in there and just saw them continue to lighten up, and he goes, wow, isn't that cool? God made bugs with shiny honeys. I mean, who thinks of stuff like that, right? I mean, God is so cool. Now, I'm glad ours don't do that, but He makes us all so different from each other. I saw this headline, this story about a headline, and it said a man from the town actually known as named Normal married a woman from a town really named Oblong. And so when the local reads the headline in the paper, they saw nothing funny about this, but it said, Normal man marries oblong woman. And when you think about it, that's how our relationships feel, right, sometimes. You know, I'm the normal one. You're the crazy one, right? I'm the normal one. You're weird. You're oblong because we are so different. So different. Even in this room, I mean, just think about it. We have morning people and night people. Golf people and tennis people, coffee, tea. We have quiet people. We have verbal diarrhea people. Right. We have cat people and then normal people. Please don't give me any more cat stuff, all right? I got drawers of cat stuff in there. I'm good. I love cats. I love them. I love those things. Come by my office, I'll show you my collection of cat paraphernalia. We are wired differently, right? Nowhere is that more apparent than the difference between, you know, men and women. We're just different. Not good or bad, not right or wrong. It's just different, right? When you get married, it's our differences, I think, that keeps us saying to one another, I don't get you. Why can't you be normal like me, right? Well, I want to go all the way back to Genesis and start there in this series because I want us to understand who we are and who God has, how unbelievably unique and creative God has been in creating you and me. Genesis 1, verse 26, it says this, Then God said, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that He had made. And I love this. And He said, it was very good. It's the first time He put very in front of him. He said it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Listen, God created us in His image. Both equally important. Both equally valued. Both equally loved by God with many, many similarities, right? But also both with a ton of differences. A ton of differences. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we are different physically. Male and female. I don't know if you figured that out, but you know, our skeleton structure is different. Our body parts, the testosterone and estrogen flowing through our bodies is different. You know, we know this. Women are better conversationalists. I've said this many times. You know, girls are verbal, guys are visual. Girls are relational, guys are physical. Girls prefer romance, guys prefer action. Girls tend to feel their emotions. Guys tend to think their emotions. Someone once said that sexually men are like a light switch. You just flip it on, right? Ready to go, flip it on. But women are more like an iron. Takes time to warm up. We're so different in so many ways. So many ways. But we're created in the image of God. Job 10:8 says, "Your hands, O God, shaped me and made me." God shaped you and me, and He made us unique. Even the one that you're married to. So if we're going to thrive in our marriages, if we're going to, you know, if we're going to do that, if we're going to have that kind of marriage, we have to appreciate and celebrate our God-given uniqueness. It's a gift to each other. Celebrate our differences. Don't highlight them. Don't let them aggravate you. Celebrate them. I think I've shared this with you before, but there was this girl who was about to get married, and she was so nervous on her wedding day and wanted to make sure she did everything just right. Right? And so she knew that she had to walk down the aisle and wanted to make sure she got down the aisle. And when she got down the aisle, she knew there was that time where she was going to have to, you know, kneel at the altar. So she wanted to make sure she remembered to do that at the right time. And then, you know, at the end, they was going to sing a song from the hymn book, you know. And so she just said, "Okay, I'm going to remember. I'm just going to say these over and over so I don't forget, so I don't mess up." And so she just begins to say in her mind, you know, "I'll altar him. You know, I'll altar him. I'll altar him." And that's the way it goes, right? You say, you know, they'll say, "Yeah, he is so unorganized and so spontaneous, but I'll change him. She is, you know, so uptight. She needs to loosen up, take some risk. I'll change her." And then both of us become frustrated when each don't change. And what we don't realize is that the shape that we have has been given to us by God. And that demands some flexibility and compromise because it's the way that we are wired. Kim and I, we don't focus on the negative things of each other. I mean, Kim and I are opposite in most ways. If I'm hot, she's cold, right? I'm a night owl, she's a morning person. And you know, so different. And listen, that can be a source of irritation, or it can be a strength. And Kim and I choose to say it's a strength. When I am weak, she is strong. And where she's weak, I'm not as weak. Right? The two of us are so different, but I think we make a great one. A great one. And so we need to begin to understand the way God has created us so uniquely. And I think you can kind of, you know, describe people and their personalities really in just the way we approach a four-way stop sign. You ever seen that? You ever noticed that? I mean, you have the one person that goes up there and they're just clueless at the four-way stop, right? They got their earbuds in, they're listening to music and everything, you know, and they're clueless. And then you got the other one that's kind of laid back. You know, he or she goes up there and they're, you know, she's singing and waving at everybody. Hey, smiling. What you doing? Hey. And everybody's waiting. And then you got the person that says, "And this is not right." The driver's manual says that the person on the right is supposed to go first. And then the person on her right is supposed to go next. You know, let's follow the manual, people. You got those kind of people, right? And then you got the guy, the one that comes just to a rolling stop and just blows right through, right? Blows right through the four-way before anybody else has a chance to move, right? I mean, which one are you? Which one are you? What kind of personality do you have? Proverbs 24:3 says, "Use the wisdom and the understanding to establish your home." Begin to discover how God has uniquely created you. I want to do this kind of quickly here. I love how Gary Smalley takes the four personality traits. We kind of all have gone through some of these different ones, but this one, he takes the four traits and he kind of hooks an animal to him. The first one is sanguine, and he hooks the otter to the sanguine. And the strengths of the sanguine personality are this: they're outgoing, they're responsive, they're warm, they're friendly, playful, you know, talkative, enthusiastic, kind of usually extroverted, good storytellers, right? They never let the facts get in the way of a good story. They're spontaneous. They live in the moment. But their flip side, their shadow side, their weaknesses, sometimes they tend to be undisciplined, unorganized. They exaggerate, you know, too much. Sometimes forget things. They lose their keys. Talk too much. Take the spotlight away from others. Sometimes they need applause or approval or acceptance. Need to be acknowledged because of that, that need to be accepted and acknowledged, they give in sometimes to peer pressure. How many sanguines we have in the room? Yeah, be honest, yeah. See why it's important to kind of surrender your flip side, your shadow side, your weaknesses to God. Then there's the melancholy, the beaver. He calls them the beaver, right? Their strengths are usually they're analytical, they're industrious, organized, deep thinkers. Always want to do the right thing in the right way. But their weaknesses, their flip side, is they're moody, self-centered, touchy, negative, can be judgmental. They sometimes tend to be perfectionists, so detail-oriented, right? I mean, you have a sanguine person come to the, you know, come into a room and say, "Oh, you guys, you can't believe the party we went to the other night. Me and my six friends. It was on Friday night. It was awesome." And then all of a sudden, the melancholy person says, "No. There were only five of us. And you know, and it was Saturday night, not Friday night." And she goes, "Whatever, right? Whatever's my story." And she goes, "No. Tell it right." How many beavers in the room? Yeah. You need to surrender that flip side, that shadow side to God. And then there's the choleric, the lion, the king of the jungle, right? Their strength, you know, they're visionaries, they're practical, productive, usually strong-willed, independent, decisive, leader usually, dynamic, charismatic, the quarterback, the point guard, the CEO, right? But their flip side is that they, you know, they're the guy that blows right through the stop sign, usually. Sometimes they can be cold, domineering, unemotional, sarcastic, want their own way, elevate task over people, right? So you have to get to that place where you just say, "Search me, oh God. Help me not to use my unique personality, the way you have created me, to just run through and run over my family, my kids, and bring damage to those I love." And then there's the phlegmatic. That's the golden retriever. Everybody loves the golden retriever, right? The choleric's kind of attracted to the golden retriever, to the phlegmatic, because he knows, you know, he will agree with him. Their strengths are that they're calm and easygoing, laid back, dependable, humorous, not the life of the party, but want to be the party, want to be at the party, very creative usually, right? But their weaknesses are they're not risk takers, they don't like change, sometimes they can be lazy, need time and space to change. Can be a procrastinator, and indecisive, a worrier, people pleasers, just can't say no. So who are you? Who are you? And who are you married to? These would be great conversations on your way home today with one another. Let me just make some disclaimers though, okay? Personality types are not boxes to put people in, all right? Because everybody's not like all those different characteristics, but they're not boxes to put people, they're not labels, right? You don't want to say stuff like, "You are such a melancholy." Right? You don't want to say that, you know, "Why don't you mess up every once in a while," right? You don't want to say that, you know, or "Why don't you get off the porch, you lazy golden retriever," or, you know, you don't want to say that. And you don't want to use your personality traits as an excuse either, you know. You never say, "Well, that's just the way God made me. It's just the way God made me. So that's just who I am. Deal with it." You don't want to say that. Never use it as an excuse. Because you see, your goal is to know how you are wired and to celebrate the unique ways God made you. 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 Then you use all those great things for His glory. And you're aware of the shadow side, the flip side, so that you don't go there. You embrace how God wired you, and you allow Him to begin to transform you into His best version of you. It starts there when it comes to our relationships, that we begin to understand who we are and how God has created us. And when you begin to surrender all your personality to the transforming power of God's Spirit, well, then he can begin to produce stuff in your life like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So that now you are a otter or a beaver or a lion or a golden retriever personality that looks a whole lot like Jesus. You're still uniquely you, but you're God's best version of uniquely you. John Ortberg says, as God starts moving in your life, you don't just start becoming holier, you become you-ier. You-ier. You become God's best version of uniquely you. So know how God wired you up and how he wired your spouse, and be honest and be aware of the shadow side and celebrate the uniquenesses of it and discover how God is going to mesh those unique qualities together. Submitting to one another, serving God together, allowing him to make you one flesh. Because when we say, why can't you be normal like me? What's wrong with that question? Me. I mean, you ask him, and I shared with some of this with you in the Renovate series, but I can be so selfish sometimes, right? Everything has to be about me or kind of revolve around me. I can be very selfish. You know, I kind of take Bruce Almighty, his place, and I'm Monty Almighty. You know, it's all about me. It's all about me. My favorite song in those times is Toby Keith's, I Want to Talk About Me, Want to Talk About I, right? Want to talk about number one, oh me, oh my. What I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. My favorite movie character during those times, really, is the seagulls and Nemo. You remember those? What'd they say? Mine, 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 mine. We all have that tendency, right? We all have that tendency, don't we? It's a good day. It's a good day when I come off the throne and let God be God. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. It's the verse that I want newly married couples or future married couples to really get a hold of and understand and hide in their heart and memorize. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. It's really the golden rule of all relationships. Romans 12, Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is what I know, okay? Only God can change me. But my responsibility is to change the way I think. And we must think more and more like Jesus. To understand and to know that Kim is more important than me. I must put her needs first to celebrate her uniqueness instead of complaining about how she needs to be more like me. Me is always the issue. And I can't change Kim. I mean, I don't want to. I love her just the way she is. I love her uniqueness. I just need to bring the best version of me to the relationship. We just need to bring the best version. You just need to bring the best version of you to the relationship. To the relationship. Galatians 6, 4, and 5 says this in the Message, and I love the paraphrase. It says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourselves. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. I have to bring the best version of me. And the only way that I can do that is to get my relationship with God right. I've got to let God feel my deepest needs. Nothing else can do that, all right? Not even my wife. Not even my wife. Most of you have seen the movie Jerry Maguire. You know, he has those famous lines, "Show me the money," and, you know, "You had me at hello," and then the famous one, "You complete me." What? Listen, Kim is my soulmate. She's my best friend. I love her passion for life. I'd rather be with her than anybody else on the face of the earth. But she doesn't complete me. And you can ask her, I don't complete her, right? Only God. Only God can fill that God-shaped hole in our hearts. God's word says it's in Christ that we're made complete. And when we get that relationship right, then we can bring a better person to all of our relationships. Proverbs 19:22 says, "What a person desires is unfailing love." And there's only one place that you can get that kind of love. You have to go to the source of love. To hope or expect another imperfect person to complete you is setting up that relationship for huge disappointment. Only when you love God and let God love you, only when you begin to experience His unfailing love, will you be able to love in a way that a marriage really needs. I kind of did a study on unfailing love, and 40 times that is mentioned throughout the Bible, and it's always connected to God. Let's just read some of these together. Psalms 32:10 says this, "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in Him." Psalms 33:5 says, "The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love." Psalms 36:7 says, "How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings." And Psalm 17:7 says, "Show me the wonders of your unfailing love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." We all long for His unfailing love. One that is constant. One that is compassionate. One that is understanding of all of our faults. Right? One that knows all about our flip side, all of our shadow side, our weaknesses, but He still is faithful, and He loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. And the only place to get that kind of love is in a relationship with Jesus Christ, letting Him complete you, letting Him love you. Let me just say this, As passionate as I can, letting God love me has changed everything in my life, including my marriage. I just want to close with this scripture because this is a passage of scripture that has kind of helped me really be okay with who I am, all right? I mean, I understand who I am and in Christ, and I understand my weaknesses that I have, and this passage has helped me to be okay with who I am. It's helped me to really find my true identity, as a child of God, as the worship team led us in. It just has helped me to hold on to that and to really understand it. Ephesians 3:16-19 says, "I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully." He says, then you will be made complete. with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. As we begin this series, that's my prayer for you. That you would grasp how God sees you and how He loves you. It's the most important thing you can do for your marriage and really for all your relationships, really for your life, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep His unfailing love is for you. And to let that capture your heart and let that truth go all the way through you so that you can learn to love and thrive in relationship with God and in relationship with others. And when you do that, you will no longer say, "Why aren't you normal like me?" Because you will bring a better, more humble you to the relationship. That's my prayer for us. That we would step into this week and start with each one of us, to start with you, and begin to understand and ask God to help you to understand just how much He loves you, and that it is an unfailing love. And make sure your relationship with Him is right, and ask Him to fill you up with His love, that unfailing love, that sacrificial, unconditional love. And ask Him to take who you are, how He created you, and begin to share that love in those most important relationships of your life, especially your marriage. Pray with me, please. I just want us to spend just a few moments, be still and just in the quietness, just be reminded of God's unfailing love for you. For you see, if you're going to thrive in relationships, if you're going to have a marriage that is strong and growing, it has to begin with you and your relationship with God. So right now, in the quietness of this place, allow His Spirit to remind you of just how much He loves you, how big and wide and high and long and deep His unfailing love is for you. And allow that truth to give you some handles to hold on to. Embrace. Allow that truth to capture your heart. Allow the understanding of just how great His love is for you to compel you to want to make sure that you are in relationship with the great lover, with our God, the one who demonstrated His love for you, the one that loved you first, the one that sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross to pay for your sins, your mess up, your stuff, your flip side. The one that says, "Hey, I love you. I forgive you. I want to be in relationship with you." Would you right there in this moment receive that grace, that mercy, that love? Will you just receive Him into your heart as your Lord, your Savior, your lover? Father, I thank you so much for your unfailing love, that you would and could love a sinner like me. Thank you for the promise, God, that all we have to do is to reach out and to receive that grace, that mercy, that gift of your Son into our lives. And God, that you promise that you come in and we become a child of yours. God, it's my prayer that all of us would begin to understand just the depth and the width and the height of that great love that you have for us. And God, as we try to change the way we think and begin to try to have the mind of Christ, that God, you would begin to do your transforming work in us. And oh, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to produce your fruit, your character, into the way that you have created us, that we might be able to be the best version of me, that you might be able to be the best version of you, that God, it would change who we are, it would change our relationships, it would change our marriage. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.